Well, once again, it's a real privilege and honor to be with you this afternoon. A dear brother who's presiding over the service today, and myself, we have a mutual friend. And the friend asked if I would be forwarded an email, actually, and asked if I would be interested in having this opportunity to open God's Word. And I was eager to join you and to be with you to do just that, to look into God's Word. I've had the opportunity in my role to visit the great nation of China several times. And although the knowledge of my language abilities are minimal, it's just a real honor to be amongst friends, brothers and sisters who love the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you. Let me just lead once again in a brief word of prayer. Father, we're humbled by this opportunity to be in your presence today. But Lord, in humility, we ask very simply that you would reveal yourself to us. And that you would speak to us today. Father, may our hearts be open and receptive to all that you have for us. We pray this in the name of our living Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm sure like you, our family has many traditions around the holiday time. One of those traditions is not very spiritual. There's a movie that we like to watch together. In English, the title of this movie is Home Alone. Judging by the reaction, some of you I see are familiar with this story. It's a story of a family who is getting ready to leave the suburban Chicago area and go to Paris for Christmas. And there's a little boy called Kevin who's been kind of misbehaving, and so he gets sent up to his room. During the night, there's a storm, and so all the electricity goes out. So the family gets up in a rush in the morning. They're late for their flight, and they all rush off to the airport. They just make it in time and get on the airplane. But the mother is sitting on the airplane and she's uncomfortable. Do you know that feeling when you've forgotten something but you don't know what it is? And she says, "Did we shut off the coffee pot?" Her husband says, "Oh yeah, I did it." "Did we lock the front door?" "Oh yes, honey, I took care of that." "Did we shut the garage?" "Ah, that's it. I forgot to shut the garage." "No, that's not it. There's something else." And suddenly it dawns on her. And she screams out, "Kevin!"
尖叫一声, Kevin, 这个小男孩的名字,
we forgot Kevin. What's happening now to Kevin?
Kevin现在怎么办?
She begins to panic.
然后这位母亲就非常的紧张,
and the rest of the movie, of course, is about this mother's desperate attempt to get home to her son. Well, we face a similar situation here in our passage this morning, don't we? I keep saying this morning, I have to realize it's the afternoon. Excuse me. There's a mother who suddenly discovers that her son has gone missing. And she begins to panic as any mother would. Where's Jesus? What's happened to Jesus? Interesting questions. Questions I'd like us to explore this afternoon on a personal level. Where is Jesus? What's happened to Jesus? As we take up the story here in Luke chapter 2, verse 41, we find that Jesus and his family had traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. And when he, Jesus, became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. What were they doing in Jerusalem? Well, they were fulfilling a tradition. They were performing a religious ritual. Carrying out a custom, something that they did every year at this time of year. Three times a year, Jewish men were expected to, if possible, travel to Jerusalem. For significant times of worship. One of these was the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Feast of Weeks, something that we refer to as Pentecost. Many could not afford all three. So if they had to pick one, it was usually Passover. And it was a great festival time. It was like Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year all wrapped in together. And the population of Jerusalem could swell to 3 million people during this Feast of Passover. Now, what is Passover all about? Well, it gave the people of Israel a chance to look back into their history. It celebrated the most remarkable event in the history of the nation of Israel. Their release, their redemption from slavery in Egypt. And during the celebration of Passover, during the meal, and through a dialogue between father and son, they would recount the story of the Exodus. They would talk about how the angel of death passed over those homes where the blood of a lamb was applied to the doorposts and the lintel. So Passover was a time to look back into the history and remember this remarkable event. But it was also intended to be a time to look forward. To look forward to a coming Messiah. Because these things that they were celebrating, the shed blood of a lamb, was all intended to point forward to Jesus Himself. But they had failed to recognize that. They'd gone to Jerusalem to carry out a tradition because it was their custom. But you see, something was missing. They had the tradition, but the truth was missing. They had the religious ritual, but the reality was missing. Nothing a matter with the custom, but the content that made it alive was missing. And perhaps that's what Luke wants us to see here in this passage. Perhaps he wants to show us what's often missing in our own lives. As we read on, I come to three troubling observations here. They're fairly obvious. You don't need to be a Bible scholar to see these things. But let's look at these three troubling observations. The first one we find in verse 43, as they were returning after spending the full number of days, Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. Jesus was missing, but they were oblivious to it. And I can't help but wonder if this isn't the picture of many people who call themselves Christians today. Perhaps, I don't know, even some of us. That Jesus is missing in our Christianity and we're not even aware of it. And sadly, we just continue going on through the motions, following our traditions, performing our rituals year after year. I would dare suggest that this is the tragedy of contemporary Christianity. There are so many trying to live the Christian life without Jesus. No surprise that many who then call themselves Christians, their lives are characterized by despair and defeat. Coming to a place of just doubting everything that they once believed in. And you know, dear brothers and sisters, we're not immune. Often, if we're honest, we find ourselves just going through the motions. Every year, fulfilling our customs, serving in the church, honoring our traditions. But in spite of all of our religious activity, we have this nagging sense that something's missing. I think in a group like this, if I mention the name Hudson Taylor, I'm guessing you know that name well. Hudson Taylor, of course, a British missionary to the nation of China. And there's a book that I have come to love, written, I think, by his grandson, entitled Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. I love this biography because it's real. Often we tend to put missionaries on pedestals as if they were some kind of, elite Christian. But this story really talks about what it was like for Hudson Taylor as a missionary. Talks about his struggles. The challenges of a new culture and trying to adopt this new culture. The ways he was misunderstood. Now that was Hudson Taylor leaving Britain and going to China. I imagine many of you who have come from China and are living here, you know some of those same experiences, just reversed. But there were other things he was dealing with. Health issues. The death of loved ones. Relational conflicts with his fellow missionaries and even within his family. Feelings of failure in spite of everything that he was doing for Jesus. And finally, he comes to the end of his resources. And he was at a place of brokenness. Because, as he later admits, Jesus was missing. And he was unaware of it. Well, as we read on here, verse 44, we come to a second troubling observation. But they supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey. Thinking he was in their company, they just continued to travel on. Dear friends, I want to ask you a question this morning. I recognize that I'm new and I'm a guest with you today. But this is a question that has become significant in my own life. And so I want to ask you, and I pray that this will become a nagging question in your own life until it's settled. The question is simply this. What difference does Jesus Christ make in your Christian life? Let me put it another way. Could you live the kind of life you live now without Him? Would it matter if Jesus was absent? Would you even notice? Or would you just continue on your way, assuming His blessing? So often I fear we just travel on. Not sensitive to his desires and his agenda, his plan for our lives. Instead, we almost expect him to bless our plans and our agenda. To be there for us if we need him. We almost at times reduce Jesus to some sort of pocket-sized good luck charm. And again, if we're honest, sometimes we have to admit we really can't discern his presence in our lives. We don't see him working. And then one day we come to the shocking realization that we've been living without him. You know, those of us in ministry are not immune from this. We can get caught up in the busyness of life and ministry just like anyone else. And for that reason, I learned many years ago that a significant way in which I can just step back and reorient is to take a spiritual retreat. And so a couple of years ago, I decided to take one of these spiritual retreats to go away for a few days. And I found this nice place where I could go, and there was a chapel there, and I could go for walks outside, and it was just very quiet. Now, spiritual retreats were something new to me. I'm the kind of guy I like to do something. And the doing comes easier to me than the being. So I went down to the chapel the very first night, and I thought, okay, I'm just going to sit there and I'm just going to be in the presence of the Lord and pray and be quiet and still and see what happens. At first I was a little fidgety. But this was the Christmas season, and as I was sitting in this chapel, my attention was drawn to a manger scene at the front. And so I walked up to the altar, and I looked at this manger scene more closely. And I was looking at it, and there was something that didn't seem quite right. The figures seemed all to be there. There was Mary and Joseph. There were shepherds, angels. There were even wise men, maybe not exactly biblical, but you know how these manger scenes are. Of course, we know they came later. And I just sat there contemplating this manger scene, and suddenly it hit me. I looked, and I noticed Jesus was missing. And in that moment, it was as if the Lord said to me, And what about your life? And that was a good couple of days. Because the Lord began to put His finger on some things in my life that needed to be brought back into perspective. Friends, there's a third troubling observation that we see here in these verses. The end of verse 44 into verse 45. And here we read this, that his relatives and parents, when they did not find him, in verse 44, they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances and did not find him. Here they began looking for Jesus. But they couldn't find him. Why? Well, simply because they were looking in the wrong place. Where were they looking for him? Among their relatives and acquaintances. They were looking for him amongst those who, like themselves, had gotten used to Jesus. Those who had begun taking Jesus for granted. People who, like themselves, were unaware that Jesus was missing. And that's not where we find Jesus. We don't find him where people have gotten used to him. And so what happens next? Well, this is the good news part of the message. Because we read here in verse 45, when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Three disturbing observations, yes. But I think they're followed here by three keys for discipleship. Three significant keys for us as we seek to follow the Lord Jesus. When they realized Jesus was missing, they did the best possible thing here in verse 45. They stopped. And they turned. And they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. In a word, this is repentance. The biblical word repentance means a change of mind followed by a change of action. And our lives are going in this direction, and sometimes we need to repent. And that begins by stopping. So that we can turn 180 degrees. And once again seek after Jesus. And they do just that. They stop and they turn, they repent. Some of us may be at this place in our lives at the start of this new year. We may realize that, you know, our lives are going in this direction, and what we really need to do is to stop and to turn. And get back to Jesus. This may mean a change in priorities. And this is a great time of year because we're thinking about the new year, and if I'm correct, I think the Chinese New Year is still ahead of us, but we're thinking about these resolutions, and it's a time to to take account of our lives.
也就是说，这是一个新年的开始的时候，我们往往有这种新年的下决心。刚好我们中国有，还有中国的新年也要来到，这是一个很好的时间。
And to establish some new priorities.
把一些优先的要摆在前面。
Well, let's read on here, verses 46 to 47. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers.
46到47节，过了三天，就遇见他在殿里，坐在教室中间，一面听，一面问。凡听见他的，都稀奇他的聪明和他的应对。
It begins with stopping and turning, repenting.
开始的时候他们是停下来，然后悔改。
But the second thing is here, now they begin seeking Jesus.
第二件事情他们做的是来寻找耶稣。
And it didn't happen instantly.
没有马上的发生。
For 3 days they were searching for him.
我们没有马上的找到他，他们是这样找了有三天。
And I wonder if this isn't true of us as well.
我在想，是不是在我们自己的生命当中也是这样的情形呢？
Even if we recognize that change has to happen and we repent, sometimes it takes some time to seek after Jesus.
尽管我们发现我们做错了，然后我们停下来悔改，但是也往往要花很长的时间，我们可以找到。
So dear friends, keep at it.
所以，亲爱的朋友们，我们持续的、不断的努力来找。
And you know where you'll find Jesus?
你知道在哪里可以找到耶稣吗？
You're most likely to find him where they found him.
你可能会在他们找到他的地方，同样的找到他。
In a community of other people who are really seeking after Jesus.
也就是在一群让一群急切的找耶稣的人当中，你可以找到他。
People who are still amazed at his answers.
那些人稀奇他的应对的这些人当中。
And his understanding.
然后他的聪明，他的智慧当中。
And some of us may need this in this new year.
我们当中有些人在这新的一年可能需要这些。
We may need to find a community.
我们需要找到有这样的一群人。
Maybe it's a Bible study.
可能是一个圣经学习的小组。
Maybe it's a children's group or a youth group.
可能是一些小孩子的一个小组，或者是青年人的小组。
A small group, a men's group, a woman's group.
一个小组可能是弟兄的团契或者是姊妹的团契。
Maybe it's with a group of people who are very different than we are.
可能是一群跟我们很不一样的人当中。
But they're seeking after Jesus.
但是所有这些他们一个共同点就是他们在寻找耶稣。
And so I want to challenge you to think about how can I in this new year, in a new and fresh way, seek after Jesus and grow deeper in my relationship to Him.
在新年的开始的时候，我想向你提出一个挑战，就是你来寻找耶稣基督，然后跟耶稣的关系能够更加的晋升。
Well, then we come to verse 48.
接下来我们来到了第四十八节。
I love this verse because it's so true to life.
四十八节我非常的喜欢这一节，因为这一节跟我们的生命是如此的真实的反应。
And when they saw him, they were astonished.
他们看见就稀奇。
And his mother said to him, and I can just kind of see her, you know, Mary.
我能够感觉到他母亲对他说，我能够就是像刚才我这个表情。
Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you.
我儿，你为什么像我们这样行呢？看着你父亲和我伤心来找你。
But now listen to Jesus' response here in verse 49.
看四十九节耶稣的回答。
We don't get the sense that he's defensive. He doesn't appear to be argumentative. But he simply says to his parents, Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?
Why did you look for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?
You see, Jesus was never more at home.
你可以看到耶稣从来不是单独的一个人在家。
He was in his father's house.
他在他父的家里面。
Literally here, the words in Greek are, he was about his father's business.
他在用希腊的原文说是他是在做关注他父亲的事。
And dear friends, when we stop and when we turn And when we seek Jesus and find Him,
亲爱的弟兄朋友们, 我们当我们停下来悔改, 然后去寻找耶稣基督,
we'll find that He's going to be about the Father's business. That's why He came. He came into the world and into your life to be about the Father's business. And so when you find Jesus, realize that He's going to be about the Father's business, not necessarily yours. He's not there just to bless your agenda. You see, He has His own plan for your life. And He's come to do the Father's business. He's come to confront. He's come to make changes. And we can't encounter Jesus and not be changed. You see, Jesus has come to make a difference in your life and in mine. So how do we respond to all that Jesus desires to be and to do in our lives? In a word, we submit. It's interesting as we read on here that it says this about Mary and Joseph, but they did not, verse 50, they did not understand the statement which Jesus had made to them. And He went down with them, and they came to Nazareth, and He continued in subjection to them, and His mother treasured all these things in her heart.
他所说的话他们不明白，他就同他们下去，回到拿撒勒，并且顺从他们。他母亲把这一切的事都存在心里。
They didn't understand all the implications of what Jesus was saying.
他们当时并不明白耶稣所说的事情到底的真正的意义是什么。
I find this comforting because I find that I often don't understand what God is doing in my life. But I nevertheless have to submit my life to Him. And this time when they leave Jerusalem, Jesus is right there with them in their midst. And they're thinking more about Him. And we read about Mary that she's beginning just to treasure up all these things in her heart. Brothers and sisters, our business is to submit to the business that Jesus wants to do in our lives. To allow Him to be about the Father's business in our lives. I talked earlier about that great missionary, Hudson Taylor. And you know, a wonderful and dramatic change took place in his life as he was serving the people of China. And it was at that place of brokenness when he discovered Jesus anew. And he began to realize that the issue was not what, the issue was whom. And he finally submits his life and his ministry to Jesus Christ. And at this point in his life, Hudson Taylor writes this, Christ literally now seems all to me. He He continues, the power, the only power for service.
能力, 也就是能够服侍的唯一的能力,
and the only ground for unchanging joy.
然后他那个不会改变的这种喜乐的根基,
and you know, others began to see the difference in his life as well. And they saw him doing ministry now with a new power and a new purpose. A friend wrote this about Hudson Taylor. He was a joyous man now. A bright, happy Christian. He had been a toiling, burdened one before. He was resting now in Jesus. And letting Him do all the work. Which makes all the difference. Whenever he spoke in meetings after that, a new power seemed to flow from him. And in the practical things of life, a new peace possessed him. Because he had learned this wonderful, glorious secret. But the Lord Jesus is alive. And that He lives in us. And through us. For the glory of God the Father. So let's think about these three keys. As we conclude this morning, some of us may be at that place in our lives where we realize we just have to stop. Maybe it is a spiritual retreat, but whatever it takes, some of us realize I need to stop and I need to turn once again and begin looking for Jesus. Some of us need to get busy seeking. Maybe find that community, that group, those people with whom we can fellowship so that we once again discover Jesus. And I think all of us need to make a renewed commitment to submit our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. To allow Him to reign. To be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in my heart and in my life. To allow Him to be about the Father's business in my life. Amen. Amen. Please join your hearts with mine as I lead in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word to us this afternoon. Father, we thank You for this great story and the powerful message that's contained in it. Lord, too often I have to admit that even as a Christian, I forget Jesus. Lord, I pray that You would be, Lord, just continue to show me those times when I need to stop in my own life. Where I have to stop from all the busyness and once again just turn to the purity and simplicity of devotion to Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would give each of us a renewed desire to seek you. So together with the Apostle Paul, we can say that my goal is to know him. And the power of his resurrection life. And Lord, I pray that you would also show us the importance of submitting. Lord, we know that often that comes through suffering. Dying to ourselves, Lord, so that you can have your way in us and through us. And so, Father, we want to do that today too. We want to submit to you. And invite you to be about the Father's business in our lives. Lord, we love you. And we thank you that that's only possible because of your great love for us. We praise you. We give you the glory. And pray this in the name of our living Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.